The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
It was a very interesting place to be because it's women, but CWA started from rural women, for rural women, and I was just comfortable. I just did it. I mean, within 3 months, I became a secretary, and I didn't know how to be a secretary then.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. We're here this morning talking with Pat Twiss, who shares stories about her and her husband Joe, their time running Old Tempermore Antiques and Tea Rooms. She also discusses her advocacy for women's rights through her work with the CWA and a personal connection to the suffragettes movement, symbolised by a special necklace she wears each year on March the 8th, International Women's Day. I would love to start with just a little bit of history about you and Joe in Nanup, how you came to be here.
Oh, well, that's very easy. In the early 1990s, we went to Esperance for a CWA conference. My whole life's been involved with CWA. And on the way back with two little girls in the car, we were having a holiday and we came through Nanup. And I said, oh, we've got to stop. And it was the beautiful garden. And we went to have a look at his garden, and right next door there was a big sign up for sale. And we bought that old temple wall then. And we were looking for a beautiful old village and old house, and that's what we found. And then when we came in 1994, we lived in it for 6 months while Joe did it up. Our theme was, of course, the age of the building, so it had the right colours, and we had tablecloths and flowers on the table all the time.
So when did you turn it from living there to...
Well, we were staying in there and moving from room to room as he tidied up each room, because it was being turned into antiques and tea rooms. So it took 6 months. It was opened. We had a big opening in December of that year.
Yeah, so tell us about Templemore.
So Templemore was selling antiques and this lovely little tea room, which people loved. And we had tables outside the front here, and they're all still decorated, where people driving through like to stop and sit and look, watch things. But with the... another thing, the garden was open. Every morning, the gates were open for people to come in. So the men who didn't want to come into a tea rooms, they didn't find out until they were forced in, or went round and had a look at the garden and then came in the building, they found out that there were two things being sold. So it was very, a very good idea of selling antiques. And as the years went by, he had to start buying more and more antiques. And 1 year, he went to England 4 times. And then a few years after that, we bought the shed, because in England, he was able to buy very cheap furniture, and so we just couldn't take it all in the little house. So that's how that shed was bought, for the furniture.
So you're telling us that antiques came all that way to Nanup.
He was very lucky. At the beginning, there was a big antique sale in Midland, and he managed to get a lot of antiques, and a lot of them were tools. And it was gave him a good start. But as the business grew, you know, as more and more people came in and you were selling more and more stuff, he started going to England. And he was lucky because his sister was living there at that time and he always stayed with her. And twice I went in all those years. And it was quite good fun. And one day I was there. We went to one auction, and as we were leaving, Joe and the auctioneer were having big handshakes, and he was saying, thank you very much, Mr. T, and looked at Joe, and I said to Joe, he liked you, didn't he? Because you Joe got every single thing he wanted that auction, and he was also boosting up prices on others. It was a cold, slow day. It was absolutely fascinating, and he called. He was always, everyone was always very polite to me. It was lovely to go into these auction houses. Mrs. T, but he's been here with another woman. Not telling everybody, but it was his sister. Anyway, that same lot we were in town, and we went to another auction, and this time it was silver. And Joe didn't do very well at all there, but they went, there were very few people, but there were a lot of people like Joe buying, wanting to buy. So they were following the auctioneer all the way around the room, uncanny watching. And some of these people really wanted the silver, so they paid for it. And in the end, Joe managed to get a big bag of jewellery. When we got back, got home, he said, oh, do you want to have a look at this? Oh, I don't need anything. I've got plenty of jewellery. Anyway, I had a look, and I found this little necklace, which turned out to be a necklace that a woman way back in the beginning of the century, one of the women who were the, and I can't remember the name, the women that were causing tremendous trouble in England and being imprisoned for it.
Suffragettes.
Suffragette, good on you. Yes, it was a suffragette. So I try and remember to use it on wear it on March the 8th. I said, oh, I'll have this. Because I'm also a member of something else. And it was absolutely beautiful. And we found a book at the library. And we found out how much it cost. And it was about a good price. And it happened to be that it was made, it was a whole 100 years of it was 100 years old as well.
Wow.
I was so lucky. So we're in this, coming into this other auction house, another coming in the next day, and I go into the stand at the door and said, guess who got the piece of the day yesterday? Oh yes, Mrs. T. What's that? And I said, I got a little necklace that was such and such. Well, the poor man in charge of the jewellery, you should have seen his face. He knew I'd got something.
Yeah, wow.
Joe, it was worth 100 quid, or 100 pounds, and yet Joe hadn't paid that sort of money for the whole bag of jewellery. So that's when it's really fun.
Amazing. Why did you go all the way to Britain?
Well, I mustn't have been busy doing CWA things, and I was able to go to England for a change.
But why did Joe go all the way there?
Well, he'd come from England, and he knew. And the thing in England, when you went into an auction house, and there's an enormous number of people in there, including buyers, but after a while, just a few times I was there, you realise that these people are topping up continuously with gear because they've only got small shops in England. Whereas he was able to buy, he used to buy containers full of stuff. Very, very clever in the way he put it together. Well, that's one of the reasons why I stopped. It was because the prices of the containers were getting worse and worse and worse.
Is that when you stopped Templemore?
Templemore had been sold and he'd come over here. Well, I think we had the Templemore for about 10 or 11 years and then he came over here and he had big furniture. When the container came in this room, it was you walk like walking down aisles like that and everything was piled up high. And he used to send letters out to the local antique dealers and that he would be open for them so they could come in and come and buy some cheap antiques from England. And it helped pay for the bill.
Why antiques?
Because he's an Englishman. When people come into our house, and particularly people who are English, giggle. Because our house is chock-a-block full of magnificent paintings and every single room's got a piece of antique in it and some of it is not up to his standards, but it suits me for the room.
Yeah.
Yes. And so when he, even now I'll come in, oh, I haven't seen that, oh, I think I'll have it. I can take it home. So we've got some quite nice stuff, but you don't know whether that children are going to want that or people will.
So you've created this amazing life in Nanup.
Oh, love it. Everybody's lucky to be in Nanup because, and as we get older and older and older, we've got a lot of women who are widows, and we've got men who I don't know so well, but they're also living on their own. And Nanup's just such a good place to be because people are watching you. They're wanting to take care. They're wanting to have, look at all the coffee bars. They have a coffee all day. We've got all these different groups now, and they've just opened up the other one, the seniors. And we only went. See, some of the CWA ladies, we just went to help them. But actually, it was very nice, so we're still going.
Yeah.
So it's very lucky to live here. And I just feel sorry that some of these houses have gone so high. People can't afford to perhaps buy them when they would like them for their own families. That's a bit sad at the moment. I was telling a lady today that my house is a bit large, but there's no way we'll be selling it. But we were lucky because it's two stories. So if we get to the stage where we can't walk up, if I can't walk upstairs, we've got rooms downstairs. So that's all right.
And this? What's happening with this antique shop?
I want it sold. But he likes it. Over the years, he has got incredibly skilled with furniture, with antiques. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have got a very old box that we've now found that it's not made from Captain Cook's wood. But for many, many years, it was broken, and for many years it wasn't fixed. And I said to Joe one day, why didn't you fix this for me years ago? And when he'd finally done it. And he said, oh, because I didn't know how. And we'd been trying to get other people to fix it, but other men, this is going back 40 years, other men would look at it and they didn't want to touch it because it was so old. The box is so old. And it's got on the mop top that it was made from Captain Cook's wood of the ship. But we found out that it's probably another of the same name in New Zealand that went under the water. Yeah. So that's
incredible. I want to talk to you about all of the community work that both you and Joe do.
Well, I can tell you Joe doesn't. He does his thing for the Lions.
Yeah.
That is his thing.
So tell us about the thing he does for the Lions.
Over the years, he's been a very generous man and given me the money.
Uh-huh.
For all the things that I want to do. So he does that, and he does, like many of the men probably in town, he does little things for certain people and does things, but he does not belong to anything.
Doesn't want to be involved in a committee.
Yes. And when I came here, there was no CWA, but I think around about the 50s or the 60s that closed it down. And of course, I wanted to belong to CWA because I'd been along to CWA in Karratha, and I'd been in Eustace Loop, knew a lot of people. And so that's when we started the CWA in Nanup again, 1994. And now it's 30 years. And I've done all sorts of things for the different groups, for ourselves. We celebrated 100 years last year. Did you know that?
No.
CWA, you did not know, we had the most marvellous year, the whole of every branch in Australia, in West Australia. We had this wonderful, wonderful parties, doing things, fabulous conference. Yes, and that in 100 years. The Spirit of Women, books in there. And I am one of the 100 women in it.
Oh, yes. I believe that book is in the Nanup Public Library. You've had so many achievements through the CWA and held so many positions, and then you became a member of the Association of the Country Women of the World.
Yes. I have been to 9 world conferences around the world. Good excuse. And to go somewhere, because you're going with other members of in Western Australia. So we're all looking after each other as we go around the world. The last one was in Malaysia, so that was quick. My twin sister in New Zealand is now a member. She belongs to the Rural Women New Zealand. So she comes. She's been to 3 world conferences. 2016, I was put forward to go on the United Nations Committee for the Associated Country Women of the World. So for 3 years, I went to London twice a year. It's a lovely excuse. And the same year, I was honoured as an honorary life member. Anyway, there were 2 people getting it, and I was the second one. And I shook for 2 hours with shock. But the biggest shock was all my family there. And one of my family, my dear son, has got 8 children. So they were all there too.
And you didn't know any of them were there?
Didn't know anything. It was absolutely... the next year when another lady got honorary life, and she was one of my people that I'd had a lot to do with the international stuff. And I said, it was absolutely horrible, wasn't it? She said, yes. I could hardly talk and the shake because it was such a shock. Because all those years you'd been watching all these other famous, fabulous women coming up.
So you've travelled a lot with CWA and you've learnt a lot of skills by the sound of it.
Yes, I have.
And met lots of people.
Oh, well, yes. CWA was started from rural women, for rural women. And I was just comfortable. I just did it. I mean, within 3 months I became a secretary and I didn't know how to be a secretary then.
Can you paint us a picture of the Nanup CWA, if you don't mind?
Well, in Nanup, when we started, there were 12 women that turned up and stayed. And over the years, we fluctuated from about 12 and then down to about 10. But we're always doing things. The whole CWA is always doing things for women. So we're always aware of what we're doing. So there must be, it's probably a bit of a kindness. You know, in Nanup, we get asked, over the years, we cater for the... That is, it's incredibly good to do because we just take over the food side and the setting up and the closing down of the when we're up the road or wherever we are. We were in the bowling green the other day, so that people who have got other things to concentrate about. So that's always been a very, very important one. We had a lot to do with the Tulip Festival, because it was a member who was actually one of the first organisers. So for years, CWA always did the things in the hall. Beautiful. And it was the daffodil festivals. So the hall was full of daffodils. It was absolutely fabulous. And then Tulip Festival. So we had that. And one year, CWA does a country of study every year, and it was Amsterdam, some tulips, and I had all this information about the tulips, and the hall was all decorated with this CWA member that did most of it, and we helped there. So we've been very proud of that. Mm. And we also started to give lunch for the setup people. And we've been doing that for years and years and years and years. So when they're coming into the hall to set up for the flowering garden, they can get lunch. Because at some stage in their life, it was quite difficult to get food. We didn't have quite so many open. And CWA decided that we would do a Monday where we were going to entertain or look after people to do games. I even spent money on cards and stuff. Anyway, after about 2 months, one man said, I've got a bingo machine at home. Why can't we have bingo? And guess what? We're still doing bingo. And over the years, we found that some of our darlings died on us. And now we've found that we're actually older than some of the people who come every month. And again, it's people that are living, quite often living out of town, people on their own coming to us. We did that. Years and years ago, we did a lot of work, donated a lot of stuff to the hospital. Obviously, over for some reason, they're not asking us. There's other people to ask. And, and we've done the over 75s lunch. Now, do you know that? CWA has always been involved with the op shop. And Eileen got it into her head that we should do something for the elderly people of Nanup. So it wasn't the over 65s. It wasn't the over 70s, it was over 75s. Because as she said, they're the ones that stay at home. They're getting to the age where they're not doing the community work anymore in the home. So it was done two or three times in the bowling green, and then we moved up to the, well, we would have moved up to the rec centre when the rec centre was, we had the renovations and we had that through. So we've been doing that every year, no charge. And we do get wonderful help from the Lions, now the community house. They always do. The op shop has always given us the donation for the gifts, chocolates and tins of biscuits. And last year it was 80 we served. And took some of them, and I took a few plates to homes that where people couldn't come down.
Mm-hmm. The CWA was part of the year 2000 Millennium Party in the middle of town.
That was fabulous.
And you and Joe gave CWA the use of your kitchen, I believe.
I don't know who ordered the band, but CWA... We gave CWA the permission to go into the kitchen, and they were serving food that night, and we had this terrific band, and it was right outside our house and everything, and people came down, and we got home at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Working with country women, I guess what's one thing you'd really like to share in this story about country women?
Well, one of the things is what I said before, is the fact that it gave young women a chance to have some friends, mixed friends, and the fact of what we learned. We send money to Perth's office, and sometimes we might send other things if they are asking it for it. But there are women who are continuously sewing and making things for the hospitals. CWA goes into women's refuge and give things for the women and the children there. But it's all donated from the members of the branches. We all just send stuff in when they ask for it, or you send money in. So when I was reading the book, so if you have a look at the library and have the spirit of women, it's just absolutely amazing what women did. We're all different, because I can't possibly live up to this, because I had to write something about my international stuff. And yet the women were all doing things, and a lot of it is quite interesting, because it's always to do with children, a lot of it to do with children. At the moment, CWA is involved with the grandparents who are looking after grandchildren. So it's just things like that we like. And I presume it's the companionship.
I guess over time as well, you've seen the opportunities for women change. Has that also affected how CWA has operated?
Oh, well, they are changing all the time. Our constitution's being changed again, because they have to, from different things. But basically, we are still doing the stuff that they were doing way back last century. And it is schools, hospitals, things that are happening to children and things that are happening to children. I mean, we're part of a lot of other groups, of course, that are doing it, but it still needs to be done. Yeah. And we get the money for it somehow. And so we do our little bit, and sometimes it's a big bit, and we'll do whatever we're doing, and other times it's quite a small bit.
I guess talking to you, an observation I've made is how vibrant and energetic you are. How do you keep this amazing life force about you?
Well, it is slowing down, but compared to other people, including my husband, I seem to recover quite quickly, which is good, isn't it? Because he goes to bed early because he's tired. Well, I don't go to bed early, and I seem to recover. One of the things that has made me what I am is the fact that my sister, twin, left home when she was 17 years of age, and she had to go up to Auckland to learn for teacher's training, and I was left at home. And the two of us had done everything together, and our mother and father had been very free with us. We could, when we were teenagers at high school, if the two of us were going to the same thing, well, we were allowed to go. And so when she left, I was on my own, and I've learnt huge resilience, huge, because I'm a person who can do things on my own. I don't have to have people around me. I'll just go and do it. And I'll, like, even travel overseas if need be. That was exciting.
Patrice, thank you so much for coming to talk. It's been so incredible listening to your journey and your contributions through CWA. You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this, and we hope you are too. This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Communities Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.